Can they see in?
Yeah.
So it's awkward. So you should get tinted.
Yeah, I'm going to get the, well, I have to finish doing these, and then I'm going to get the door.
That way we can stare at these dudes and comment on them, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all can't see the dude outside, but homie's looking crazy.
Yeah, it's you know, it's interesting here, especially because sometimes we record and they walk by and they'll like put their face on the window like looking in.
I think that's hella.
And I'm like, bro, you gotta pretend like they're not
you
there.
You need a camera. Be like, no, because if they do that, bro, I'm saying something. Hey, there's a dude literally staring at me right now. We are recording this from the streets. Yeah. We's on Jones.
Streets of Las Vegas.
The street, bro. Yeah. People don't realize Las Vegas got some streets.
Not for sure.
Like, catch your ass on Karen. Catch your ass on any number 1 through 12.
Yeah. Crazy.
Have you ever wanted to do something in downtown Las Vegas, Chinatown, or on the Strip and had trouble finding a parking space? Save time with Vay, a new rental car service with driverless delivery and parking, your all-electric rental car that parks itself. Get your hassle-free, affordable, and flexible rental car in Las Vegas now. Download the Vay Rent Cars by the Minute app and use the exclusive code VAYINVEGAS, VAYINVEGAS, for a $100 welcome bonus. Now back to the show.
But what's good, y'all? Your boy Brandon back again, another episode of the On the Run podcast, man. We got Brandon back again, man. Brandon from Vegas is in the house. Thank you for giving me your time again,
brother. Always, man. I'm looking forward to doing this. I told you.
Yeah.
I told you the last one that we did. I said, yo, you invite me back anytime. This is the most fun I've had on a podcast.
I appreciate that. That actually, it means a lot. And, yeah, I've been keeping up with your stories, seeing the victory post in the morning.
Victory!
Yeah. What inspired you to make that change and start motivating people to do the same?
Oh, man, people weren't supposed to get motivated off that. That's just to me to motivate my... I'm a loser, right? You ever seen Entourage?
Yeah.
So Entourage made it to your generation.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool, cool. So in the show, when we were watching it growing up, everybody wanted to be Vinny Chase, right? Everybody wanted to be like, oh, I get bitches, right? Whatever, whatever. To me, drama was my dude, right? Because I'm like, I'm drama, right? I'm the dude who keeps grinding and failing, right? And to me, Johnny Drama was the main character of that show, right? Because the final scene in the show isn't his handsome, rich brother, right? The final scene is him on the mountain, ready to give up, getting that call that like, hey, you've made it.
Right.
And giving the victory, right? And so to me, that moment's always been significant. So every time I finish a workout, I know I'm most likely going to go eat some crappy food and do something to set myself back, right? But waking up in the morning and giving myself the victory, it's a reminder that, like, there's a Grand Canyon eventually. There's a moment of, like, breakthrough eventually.
Right. It's just, like, little steps to get in there.
The little steps that get there, yeah. Right? No one gets to watch that, right? But one of the benefits of me being on social media is when I gain weight, the audience can see it because you've been watching me for 2 years. You know what I used to look like.
Right.
My audience knows what I look like more than I do because I don't look in the mirror. It annoys the hell out of my wife, but I don't look in the mirror. When I wake up in the morning, bro, I throw on and go. Like, I'm not that guy, right? So my audience actually knows what I look like more than me. So when dudes be in the comment like, oh, someone's clearly been putting on the pounds, or we can tell you eat the food, right? I'm like, God damn, I didn't realize, right?
Yeah.
So it's just fun. People get to, I'm drama to them. They get to watch my journey of failure. And when I finally get to my goal, they'll be able to celebrate with me the way I celebrated with the character. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But I feel like your stories and your like post content sometimes can be like very different, drastically different. So it depends who you run into, because you can run into the person that's like, oh, do you know Brandon from Vegas? And they're like, oh yeah, the guy that talks about food and sells houses, right? But if someone's like actual, like tapped in with Brandon from Vegas and they watch all the stories, they're like, oh, Brandon talks about a whole bunch of things.
Yeah.
And to me, it almost feels like that seems like it's more fun to you to actually like help people and put them on game and like almost give them like life lessons.
Yeah. I sell real estate because I have to. I eat food because it helps me sell real estate, right? But like if I could go viral helping people like learn lessons that they were supposed to learn growing up,
yeah,
I would much rather go viral. But let's keep it honest. Nobody is going to listen to me because I don't look rich. I don't look jacked. I don't look like I get bitches, right? And like, I don't look like Andrew Tate, right? I don't look like a guy that they want to be like.
Right.
And this is a world where like, people would rather be like a shitty person who looks cool rather than a good person who does, right? So
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
My stories are where my, like, I don't call, like, if you're in my stories, we're friends. That's where I talk to my friends, right. Is in my stories, straight up. If you follow my stories every day, we're friends, because that's how I talk to my friends, you know? And unfortunately, I can't put that stuff on my page because I'm a professional and like da 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 da. Hell, even some other influencers tell me, man, you gotta quit talking like that. You're never gonna get brands and brand deals like if you talk like that, right? But to me, if I don't have an outlet to talk to people as friends, if I treat everybody as just a follower, what's the point?
Right. Yeah, because then it almost feels like you're always just trying to sell them something instead of using your powers for good, right?
I hate, bro, I haven't posted a house in a month.
Yeah.
I'm a realtor. I haven't posted a house on my page in a month because I don't want to always sell you something, right? Mm-hmm. It feels gross. I don't like the feeling. People who can sit there every day and like cold call, cold call, cold call. I'm like, you're always selling. Yeah. I don't have that kind of energy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it almost feels like sociopathic how they can just turn it off and be like, it's sell mode, and then it's like regular mode. And for you, it feels like you're kind of always like in regular mode. You're like, I'm just doing this because I have to feed my family. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not an influencer. I'll be I tell everybody that. If you read any of my comments, well, you're an influencer. I'm allowed to criticize. I'm not an influencer. I'm a dude posting at a place that I like, bro. Yeah. You don't. Right? And I kind of try to reinforce that because, like, it is sociopathic. I 100% social media is training people to interact with people on a sociopathic level where it's like I'm legitimately getting into a character so often that I don't even know who I am anymore.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. For a while, I caught myself being Brandon from Vegas in real life before I was like, wait a minute, I'm not really like this, right? I'm a curmudgeon-y, mean-ass old man.
Yeah.
I actually had one of my girlfriend's wives now ran into me, and she was like, Brandon, I'm going to be honest with you. From your social media, I thought you were going to be way more fun than this. You are boring as shit.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, basically.
Yeah. Like, that's for the camera.
That's for the camera.
I'm chilling. Bro, yeah.
When people hit me up, like, hey, man, I'm coming into town. We're going to grab beers. We're going to get lit. I'm like, brother, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to bed. I have a book to read, and I have work in the morning. Yeah. Do you find yourself... Because as a podcast host, right?
Yeah.
Don't you feel a little bit of that, not forced, but you're kind of encouraged, like a late night TV show host, to be a bit of a character, right? You have to ask questions that you know that I want to answer, questions that are going to get me rambling my ass off.
Yeah. So yes and no. I feel like especially social media now has turned into such like a, they call it clip farming. I don't know if you're familiar with the term.
Clip farming.
Yeah. It basically means like you're doing stuff because you know it's going to be a clip. So whatever content it is, whether you're selling houses, podcasting, live streaming, you clip farm and then you say something outlandish or you do something outlandish because you know people are going to clip it and then that clip's going to go viral. And to me, it always felt like I never wanted to be a character. So I do feel like, especially now, there's podcasts are so saturated that there's so many people who, you know, they'd come on here and they talk about some crazy stuff or say some controversial things.
Of course. And then, women should go back to the kitchen. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like, that'll get so much engagement.
Yeah.
And then that they'll blow up. But to me, it's like, yeah, but then what? You're going to have to keep saying those things forever.
Yeah.
As opposed to building a brand for yourself where people like to listen to you speak your opinions. 100%. Whether it's one day it's outlandish and the next day it's not, they know it's coming from you organically.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's the same way for you. But where does that come from? Like, where does the need to kind of, you spoke about it a little bit earlier. You said, if I could give people the advice that I didn't have growing up.
Yeah.
Is that where it comes from?
Yeah. It's that growing up, I felt so uncomfortable in my own skin that I always just trying to be somebody else, right? And so inevitably, I actually got really, it's called a cocktail server syndrome. I found out that's an actual thing. Cocktail servers in Vegas are very good at this. You could meet the same cocktail server 5 different nights, and if you dress differently or behave differently, she will behave differently. She becomes a reflection of what she thinks you want. Exotic dancers do this as well, right? They're just a reflection of what they think you want them to be. And I got really good at that, right? Where it's like, oh, if I was hanging out with the chess team, I'd be like, oh, let's talk about Yu-Gi-Oh! And all the nerdy shit, right? If I was hanging out with my football team, he'd be like, oh, let's talk about, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And one day I woke up, man, and I just got, I was so exhausted of being this guy.
Yeah.
And I said, man, I just don't give a shit anymore. I'm just going to be myself, man. And like, I've lost a lot of friends. I'm not as cool as I used to be. But I think, and I'm willing to say this, I think I run the most authentic, large social media page out there. I think I'm feel confident in saying that, right? And now, am I clip farming now?
No.
Is that a clip farming thing to say?
I'm going to use it as a clip, but no.
I think I run the most authentic social media page out there. Everything you see, from the places I eat to the places I go, that's me. I genuinely like to do these things. I've been eating at most of these places since I was a little ass kid.
Right.
I've been going to Sunset Station bowling, going to Kids Quest since I was literally 6 years old.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me, it's authentic. You go in my comment section. I'm not like all these other people. If you come crazy in my comment section,
yeah, you're gonna get handled. Yeah.
I will legitimately sit there and I got all day for you, bro. I got all day to correct your behavior, right? And I'm not gonna sit there and be like, oh, you're stupid. You probably vote. I'll come out there and be like, your parents should have taught you better.
Yeah.
Clearly, there's somebody in your household who didn't teach you. Like, I'll really come after you, right? Because that's me. If you talk to me that way in real life, that's how I would talk to you, right?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't get emotional. I wouldn't get upset. But I would definitely try to correct your behavior, right? Because like I told you earlier, my goal, if it was up to me, would be that. Would just to help people not act the way they do.
And how old were you when you like made that conscious choice to... Or how old were you when you realized you were doing that? Where you were trying to just fit in with whoever you were around and you decided to stop?
Oh, bro, I was like 26, 27.
Okay.
I remember I was working downtown at one of the bigger nightclubs, right? In fact, probably like the only big nightclub down there. And I was hanging out with some people. And these are people I was hanging out with every night, like on a nightly basis. And I looked around and I was like, oh my God, these people are going to be doing this for the rest of their life. Like these people are going to be doing this forever. This is who they are for real. This is not a phase for them.
Yeah.
And it just, it clicked in my head.
But like, did you read it in a book? Did you like see it in a movie? Did you see a video? Like what made you realize? And you're like, what am I doing? Like, when did you realize that?
I've known it my whole life. I've been a big reader since I was a little kid.
Okay.
And there's a book called The Portrait of Dorian Gray. You should read it if you ever have the time, right? You've read it?
I've read it, yeah.
Read it. Okay. My favorite book of all time. For those in the audience who aren't, you know, as astute and knowledgeable as the two Brandons here.
Yeah.
It's a book about a guy who has this painting made of him that's so perfect that it becomes magical. And no matter what he does, no matter how much he drinks, betrays people, hurts people, no matter how evil he becomes in real life, he stays perfect. And the book, the painting takes all the damages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one day I realized that I had become the character in my favorite book. That's one of the ironies of life, right? Yeah. Even though you know about it, even though you've read about it your whole life, you can still fall into the trap.
Absolutely.
Right? And I had become the character in my book where on the outside, the whole world thought I was cool. Like before Brandon from Vegas, I was like, I could go anywhere in the city, any nightclub, I could go anywhere, right? I knew everybody. I was Brandon from Vegas then. But I hated, every day I woke up and just hated who I was and hated what I was doing, right? So the whole world saw Dorian Gray and I saw, one day I woke up and I saw the picture of me. I saw the portrait of myself and it was ugly. It was gross. It was disgusting. And I just said, I can't be this person anymore. I'd rather have everybody around me hate my guts than to continue being this person that everybody likes.
You know what's crazy? Like besides having our name in common, I feel like that is like... such a mirror image of what I had growing up as well, just because in middle school, I went to a magnet school. So obviously, if you know, like, if you're a first generation American, your parents don't speak English. So you're picking up all the phones. You're the translator in the house. And one day,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Going to middle school, we got a phone call. Mom was like, oh, it's from the school. Answer it. And they were basically saying like, oh, well, you have really good grades. You qualify to go to the magnet program in this middle school. Would you like to enroll? And I explained that to my mom, and of course she's gonna say yes, even though in my head I'm like, no, because then I'm not gonna go to school with my friends.
Yeah, right?
So I would go to that school, and you know, I'm going to school with people that are way more well off than us.
Yeah.
You know? So I already feel out of place. But I really shouldn't have been, because I did qualify to go to school. I was smart enough to go there. I was capable enough of being there. And it sucked because I just knew nobody. So I would hang out with my friends from the neighborhood, and they would be like, oh, we were in this class and that class, and remember this and that. And I just felt like, you know, I could still fit in with them, but I feel like I didn't. And when I would go to school, I felt like I could fit in with them, but I felt like I didn't.
Yeah.
And that just continued for so long that it's such – the irony is, like, you feel like you know everybody and everybody knows you, but you have never felt more lonely than not being able to be yourself. Oh, man.
It's crazy because we just met each other recently, right? But I feel like I've known you my whole life.
I know, yes.
And it's crazy how two people can grow up so differently yet so similar, right? Where I literally went to the same situation as you. My going into freshman year of high school, I was supposed to go to Green Valley High School, which anybody knows about it. Green Valley is like, it's multi-class, multi-socio-economical. There's some kids that are well off, but most kids are right in the middle.
Right.
And I got transferred to Coronado, which at the time was like the, outside of Bishop Gorman, it was like the Richie Rich school, right? And so it was a scenario that, like, when I hung around the rich kids, I was like, fuck, I don't, they got big houses and pantries and swimming pools. This is, I don't feel like I fit in.
Right.
But then when I went and hung out with my, like, you know, kind of poor broker friends, I was like, I don't really fit in here either. I'm not really doing a lot of the stuff that they're doing, right? Exactly. So there was no middle ground for me to fit into.
Yeah, and then it feels like you almost get swayed. Sometimes you do too much to fit in one place, but you're like, it feels wrong because you know that isn't you. And the sad part is you spend so much time pretending to be somebody else that when you finally realize it, you're like, who am I really?
Yeah.
Like, who am I? What do I like? What do I do? What do I want to do? And I was watching a video of yours where you spoke about somebody was complaining about their credit on TikTok. And you were telling them how the story of how you went to UNR and you didn't know anything about credit cards, student loans and stuff.
So
Can you share a little bit about that? You tell it better.
Oh, man. I'll never forget this story. I got my student loan check in and they put it on they gave me a credit card. You know, my parents are like your parents, where they spoke English, but the idea of a kid going to college was crazy.
Yeah.
So they did their best to help me out. And they got me a credit card. And I remember my student loans hit. And I was like, bro, I'm rich. Yeah. I had never had $100 to my name in my life. I had never had a cell phone, a car, nothing, right? So I'm like, I'm rich. They just dropped 20 G's in my account, bro. I'm a rapper. Yeah. I can do anything. So I'm at the bar, illegally. You want a shot? Boy, put it on my credit card. This is infinite money. They gave me infinite money, right?
GTA glitch,
GTA glitch, infinite money. Bro, one day I woke up, didn't realize I was supposed to be paying the credit card off. I thought they just automatically took it out of your account. Boy, I woke up one day like $3,800 in debt. Don't seem like a lot of money now, but back in the day, I was like, oh my God, they're going to take me to jail. I can't pay this back.
Right.
Right? And I ended up being so scared about credit cards that I chopped it into pieces and I vowed to never take another credit card again. So for literally 10 years, bro, I didn't have credit. All I had was debts, no credit building up. And it took me, I don't know, probably 3-4 years to go from basically no credit with a ton of debts to now I'm sitting at like 740, 750. And the lesson I was trying to teach people is, no matter how bad your credit is, you weren't an 18-year-old me buying drinks for everybody at a bar with no money in your pocket, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care how bad it gets, you weren't 10 years with no credit, tons of debt, right?
Yeah.
If I could pull myself out of this hole, like Batman, broken back and everything, anybody can do it. There's nothing. The running theme of me is that there's nothing special about me, right? And that's what I was trying to teach people. I'm not special. I'm not on TikTok like, look at my 760 credit score. I'm spectacular. It's like, bro, I've been an F up my entire life, and now I have a 760 credit score, right? Here's how I get there.
Yeah, I mean, so take that as a lesson. Go to the bar and spend
remember, my goal is to tell people, to teach them like all the mistakes that I made.
Right.
That's it. If I could get... That video did no numbers.
Yeah.
That video, I literally taught people the step-by-step of how to fix their credit, no numbers. The next day, I go to Slater's, I show people $20 bottomless beer and burgers, a million views.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what I'm dealing with. That's why I can't be the person I want to be.
Right.
Because truthfully, on social media right now, people don't want that. They want the degenerate Brandon. Yeah. If I was 26, not to brag, if I was 26 years old, you couldn't get me on this podcast. Bro, I'd have too many followers. I would be at 26
flexing
years
on me. Nice.
Bro, at 26 years old, I was such an egomaniac.
Yeah.
Wilding out in Vegas, throwing my whole paycheck on red, like just doing the dumbest shit you've ever heard of. I would have killed it on social media.
Yeah.
Watch me throw my whole paycheck on red. Bow. Oh, I lost. Shit. How am I going to pay rent tomorrow? Like wild shit. 5 million views. Yeah, 5 million views. Yeah. I would make enough money on the views to start betting more money, bro.
How the crazy thing is people do that now.
Yeah.
People love that. And that's big here in Vegas. Like people just going to the casino and like putting $10,000 down every day until I win 4 times in a row. And it's like, okay, here we are, $210,000 in debt. We still haven't done it. And people love it.
Crazy, right? Yeah.
Insane.
The more, it's because nobody wants to crash out, but we all would like to see
seeing crash out. It's like that rubberneck when you're driving down the street and there's an accident, everybody looks.
You look.
We don't want it. We don't want, like, obviously if someone asks you, like, would you want an accident to happen? Everyone's going to say no.
No.
But it's there, so I'm going to look, you know?
It's like we live in such a safe, sterile world that we have actually become addicted to, like, the more deranged or insane something is, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I try to think of it like the Logan Paul theory. Is there any time period where that guy could be famous other than this one? No.
No.
At no time, in no period, 80s, 90s, 50s, at no time period could most of the characters who are famous now be famous then. It wouldn't happen,
yeah,
right? But
not.
we've reached a point where, like, as long as you're not sterile, as long as you're interesting, as long as you're a little bit dangerous and a little bit indecent, I'm glued to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like like Kim Kardashian, all these people that they're almost just famous for being famous. Because if you really look at it, like, what excellent skill or value are they bringing to the world? Obviously, if you have someone who's like a genius and they're inventing all sorts of crazy technology, you're like, yeah, this guy would have been famous in the 1800s. He would have been discovering, I don't know what, or inventing, I don't know what. But, you know, you have these people, they're just famous for the sake of being famous.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian's famous because she got girls to date black guys again.
He said it.
That's literally, like, I have no proof of this, right? Because, like, obviously, ain't no evidence. I think whoever runs the world paid Kim Kardashian millions and millions of dollars to just get girls to bang black guys. To me, because, like, there was a period, I've been black my whole life, right? There was a period, yeah, crazy, right?
Yeah.
My whole life. There was a period where, like, black guys were, like, a fetish, like, a thing. Like, 50 Cent started this little thing where, like, you know, B2K. You remember B2K? Omarion, Touch, all that shit, right? I'm dating myself. But black guys, we were making a little bit of a run, but we were always kind of like, it's a thing. It's the thing you did in your early 20s, right?
It wasn't a mainstream
thing. It wasn't a thing. It was like, there was a specific type of girl, right?
Mm.
Post Kim Kardashian, bro, we became Chanel bags. We were like the accessory to have.
Right.
Like, forget a Chanel bag. Anybody can buy that. Look at me. I got the blackest of black guys, right? Like, it was like a run. And to me, that's all Kim Kardashian, bro. Like, she, black guys should thank her. Like, every day, she should be the black president, bro. Because she, after that, we're now, we're 100%. We're now, like, you're not a famous black guy until you date a Kardashian. That's like the maneuver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that also became a status symbol. It's like, everybody has, you know, the Mercedes. Everybody has the Rolex. But it's you date a Kardashian. Oh, you made it.
Right. Now it's crazy. They've reached a level of fame where now you can get fame
for being affiliated.
Affiliated off them.
Yeah.
That's a level of fame that's wild.
Yeah.
You're an NBA player and you're like, shit, how do I step up my brand? And your PR team's like, well, shit, we could pay the Kardashians $10 million to pretend y'all are dating. Really? Y'all, yeah, bro, $10 million. Shit, we'll give you the 6 month Kardashian treatment. Yeah. Boost your numbers, you know.
Return on investment. Now that's probably crazy
too. When you're returning
brand deals, you getting like you're gonna be on on their series.
Oh yeah,
everything.
Bro, how famous did Lamar? I'm a basketball fan.
Yeah,
I'm a basketball fan, right? Bro, even there's some basketball fans that don't know nothing about Lamar Odom.
Yeah,
but there are girls in America who know Lamar Odom's whole story because he dated a Kardashian.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Ben Simmons is an NBA crash out. But to girls, he's like an NBA superstar.
Yeah.
That Kardashian effect. I don't think they're famous for being famous. I think they're famous for being shameless.
Yeah.
I think they I think Kim Kardashian was the beginning of OnlyFans, where they were like, hey, girls, look, if you have no shame or pride or dignity whatsoever, we'll pay you a bunch of money to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And why do you think it was, first, why do you think girls were so influenced by that, like so enticed by it? And second,
oh, you're trying to get me in trouble.
No, because listen, if you're really watching the stories, you guys would know, like, this is a topic that, you know,
okay. For you all resonates doing.
With Brandon.
Yeah. For you all doing. Okay, so throughout history, if you're a reader of books, if you're a reader of history, there's always been a subsect from the Romans to the British Empire to early onset America. There's always been a subsect of people who don't have the brains or discipline to get what they want out of life, right? Not everybody is born beautiful. Not everybody's born smart. But we all want to be rich, and we all want the best things in life. Okay. Well, if you're not born rich, and you're not born smart, and you don't want to really work hard, how can I still get rich and have all the best things in my life, right? So there's always been a subsect of people willing to do it the easy way. But we've always shamed those people. Hey, guess what? If you kill people for a living, you can make a lot of money. There are gangs, there are people out there, powerful people, who will pay you a lot of money to take targets out. You've heard rappers say it. Yeah. I'm going to put 20 on your head.
Yeah.
Well, okay, if I'm a good enough killer of people, I can just keep collecting 20 on people's head and make, you know, I can make 100K in 5 kills.
Yeah.
But we've always put a lot of shame on getting money in a degenerate way. Hey, you want to sell drugs? Even Tupac said it. Hey, I made a lot of money this year. Yeah, but you sold cracks to kids, right? Even Tupac was like, yo, there's a shame on this level of making money.
And there was even like, sorry to cut you off.
No, no, it's okay.
Even like, besides society shaming certain things, even those people in and of themselves, you know, the phrase, there's honor among thieves,
sure,
existed. And there was certain lines, even for them, those people you wouldn't cross.
That you wouldn't cross.
And it feels like now there are no lines.
There's
like,
no people lines.
People just would go to hell to get, I don't know what.
People, you know? Kim Kardashian unleashed. Kim Kardashian is going to turn around and be one of the five most important people of a generation. What she exposed to people, and people don't like to talk about this, but women are the moral compass of a society. For instance, your grandmother would not let any guy get with her. Your dad would not let any guy be around her unless he proved himself a morally upstanding member of society.
Right.
You had to be something. You had to have a plan, a job, a career. Your community had to be like, speak highly of you. The church, the community, the people in your neighborhood would be like, oh no, Edward, Brandon, he's a good guy.
You had to get vouched for.
Yeah, you had to be vouched for. And then your grandma still made that man prove it for 6 months.
Absolutely.
Kim Kardashian was like, nah, bro, we're going to just fast forward all you dudes to the front of the line without any proof that you're a decent person, right? And that, what she did is she destroyed the moral fabric of what we held sacred, right? She took our moral compass and threw it out the window. It was the beginning of money over morality. And that sounds crazy because it's Kim Kardashian and we don't think of her as anything important, but she began the removal of the moral standard, right? And once, it's like Pandora's box. Once the moral standard is gone, once cigarettes became a billion-dollar industry, it's hard to take away cigarettes because so many people now make money off of it that if you try to take away cigarettes, you're taking away their livelihood and they're going to push back with everything they have, right? Absolutely. So many people now make money off of Kim Kardashian and degeneracy that to try to put it back in the box would take away a lot of jobs from a lot of people. Our economy now runs on degeneracy. And if you take it all away, so many industries would go down.
Yeah.
Right? So long story short, yeah, Kim Kardashian might be the devil.
Honestly, man, it's crazy because we could loop everything together because not only did that moral, like you said, that's a bar. Like, women are the moral compass because not only has it become the OnlyFans world, but even things like we were talking about earlier, like clip farming, saying outlandish things on a podcast, like that wouldn't happen before.
No.
You know why? Because if you were caught on camera saying something crazy, when you were going to go to, you know, see somebody's parents and be like, you know, I want to be with your daughter or something, they'll be like, oh, you were saying this on TikTok and whatever.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
No.
And now it becomes like, oh, he's famous. He says this and he has money. And it's like, oh yeah, go ahead. Like
100%.
And it's crazy because men, we think we're benefiting from it because it's like, oh yeah, now all these girls, you know, they have no morals. We can sleep around with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it comes time to settle down, we're the first people that go like, oh yeah, but we can't wife a hoe. We can't be with a hoe. We can't this and that.
100%.
And the women are the other way, you know, they're like, oh yeah, but I can make so much money and have my own and this and that. And then when they want to settle down, something in us is like, yeah, but we don't want to be with you because you were doing all these things.
100%. 100%. And we try to settle down once we've added so much baggage on ourselves that neither person wants to compromise,
exactly.
Right? Because he would have to fix so much of her baggage and she would have to fix so much of his baggage. Most people are too lazy to ever put that level of effort in, right? We know they're lazy because they made their money the easy way.
Right.
So now the problem isn't that they can't fall in love at an older age. It's that they've been lazy their whole life. You're and to form a relation, that, yeah. 100%, you're not going to change.
Yeah.
You're not going to change your laziness. You could find God, you could become a whatever person, but you're still lazy at heart. You weren't willing to pull in the work then. Once you start selling drugs to kids and doing bad things to people for money, you're not going to turn around and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to change all of this and treat some girl fairly and not take advantage, right? It's just
and let alone have someone believe you. It would be like if we, you know, relate it to house terms, because obviously you're a realtor. It would be like if a house had been through like a hurricane and a flood and all this and that, and it's like, yeah, but look, we fixed it all. Something in your brain is still going to be like, yeah, but what if? What
100%.
If something is there? What if I'd rather just go with the house that has had none of that, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. This is why brand new houses are way more expensive than resale houses. But we have a bunch of resale people out here in their 30s and 40s trying to act like brand new houses.
Yeah.
They don't want to take the resale discount. Another good, since we're keeping it to real estate, when you buy an old home, do you know what you get? An inspection.
Yeah.
An inspection, right? Someone has to go through your house and be like, let me check the pipes. Let me check the roof, right? But most people don't have the discipline to let somebody else inspect them like that. They don't have the courage.
Right.
When the inspection time comes, when it comes time for them to do some background research, oh, why are you asking me all these questions? Oh, why do you want to know about my past? Because it's time for the inspection. You're a resale house. I need to see if these pipes are fixed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Man. If we start using housing terms, this is going to turn into an educational podcast, bro.
But then there's always going to be the person that's like, man, you can't compare people to houses or people to cars or people to this. I'm like,
why not? You have ladies' night,
it's
right?
It's a comparison, yeah.
You have ladies' night.
Exactly.
What is ladies' night if not a housing sale?
Yeah.
Right? Dudes are paying money to get to the bar. Are they not? More women are showing up getting free drinks, right?
Yeah.
Are they not increasing the demand by increasing the supply? Yeah. Then it's a real estate deal.
Yeah.
Straight up. People don't want to hear that dating. It's a dating market. That's what it's called. It's the word for it is sexual market value,
right.
But it's a dating market. It's a real estate market. It's a stock market. It's a supermarket. All of these things are markets because they all run off the same thing, supply and demand.
Absolutely.
If there is a huge, huge demand for girls having no morals, then we will increase the supply of girls having no morals,
yeah.
Right? The problem is there's an unlimited demand for it. Dudes are never going to get sick of girls acting ratchet.
Yeah.
Right?
Ever.
There's too many lazy sap, what do they call them, simps? There's many simps in the world who are going to pay $6.99. The answer to all this is stop paying $6.99.
Yeah.
But there's too many simps out there for us to get them to stop.
Yeah, that's the one thing I always talk about it because women kind of get offended and they're like, oh, but men. And there's a lot of dudes out there who blame everything on women. They're like, oh, women have to have values. Women have to have this. But I do agree on, like, I feel like if men took the initiative as a collective, because I feel like we kind of control the supply and demand more so than women. Women kind of react more to us than we do to them. And if we, like you said, just everybody stopped paying $6.99, if everybody was like, yeah, well, we're not going to accept this. And we're also not going to feed into it by taking advantage of, you know, when there is a hoe, you know, everybody's going to try to take advantage. But if we all decide as a unit to be like, we're not going to, you know, mess around with that and we're not going to buy into this, I feel like the supply and demand would kind of
We're not the moral compass. We're not designed for standards.
What do you mean by that?
Men live up to the standard set for them. For instance, if your parents set the standard for you incredibly high, odds are as a kid, you will meet that standard.
Right.
Whereas if your parents set it incredibly low, we have all kind of data to support this. I'm not going to go into it because that'll really get people's feelings. But we have the data to show this. Men live up to the standards set before them. It is the truth. That's why we're not the moral compass of anything,
right?
To use real estate terms, I could want to buy a house. You could want to buy the same house. If that house doesn't go for sale, we can't force the seller to sell. Men are buyers. We can't force women to sell their houses. It's illegal, right? So you can't control if a house goes up for sale, you can't control who buys it.
Right.
The only way to stop it is to not let it go for sale. You may not want a sicko to buy your house, but if you put it up for sale and they have the money, house is theirs.
Right.
Right? So you can't stop the buyers. What you have to do is stop houses from going for sale.
Okay. I feel like this is so multi-layered because I don't know. Keeping it in housing terms is hard because I feel like I'm out of my realm.
No, step back into any realm you want to. It's okay.
But to me, it's like there's almost an outside factor. That being like right now, I'm sure you know, but like the big, what are they called? Like the big firms buying up all the houses and basically reselling them, right?
Sure.
There's buyers and there's sellers, but that to me doesn't really qualify as like either one of those because they have almost like no stake in the game. They're just sociopathically buying up houses, jacking up the prices and reselling them because we have to buy somewhere to live.
You just made a perfect analogy for the modern dating market.
Yeah.
You just did.
Yeah.
It's not the guys like you and me that you need to stop from doing this. It's Drake. How are you going to tell Drake, hey, you have $1 billion, you're super famous, stop having sex with any woman that you want to? How?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say, kind of like as men, we all decide. Yeah, I agree. It's not like the 98% of us. It's the 1% of men who could easily take advantage of, you know, Drake can probably get any girl, regardless of like where she's from, like who she is, what family she's in. Like he virtually any girl, if Drake's like, yeah, like I want you, they're going, you know?
Unless that girl
had
parents who raised her better.
Yeah.
That's the girls that Drake can't get.
Yeah.
Right? Like the Walmart family, the Waltons, whatever. If they had a granddaughter who was 21 years old, she wouldn't need Drake's money. She'd be like, I grew up with money. That's not important to me, right?
And the allure isn't even stops becoming the money. It starts becoming fame. Like the bad boy. Oh, I want to be with Drake. Like the status symbol. But I agree.
Sure.
Like, until you have a girl that has been raised in a house where she's like, none of that means anything to me because I want something that means the most, which is being respected, you know, being with this guy, him, us being married and having kids, whatever, and us being together forever. Until that happens, you're right. Yeah,
that's a deeper conversation that we probably can't have on the podcast because it leads back to who's raising these people.
Yeah.
Right. But I love the Drake example because to me, it's like when girls are like, men need to stop doing this. It's like, bro, we have the statistics from OkCupid. You guys are dating the same 10 to 15% of dudes and then blaming it on 85%. Yeah. That would be like me opening a bag of M&Ms and 9 of them are good, but one of them sucks. The green one sucks, but I keep eating the green ones. And I'm like, M&Ms are trash. It's like, no, it's just the green M&M that's trash. And you keep eating the green M&M, right? So what I say is it's impossible, nearly impossible, to get dudes to set a standard because most dudes don't get to make decisions. It's about 10% of guys who are making the decisions and setting the standards. The easier way to do it is to get the standards to raise on the other side, right? I can't stop men from wanting something, but I can't stop them from getting it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's true.
Right? I can't stop buyers from wanting a house.
Right.
But if I don't put it for sale, they can't ever buy it. For instance, my aunt lives in Ladera Heights, the Black Beverly Hills, right? These are people who bought these houses in a Black neighborhood when they were nothing. But now that they've elevated it and not allowed violence and all that crazy stuff, the houses are worth millions of dollars. She gets calls from investors every day. I'll give you $1.1 million cash for your house. I'll give you $1.2 million cash for your house. My aunt will look them dead in the face and be like, no. She's turning down $1 million. $1 million. Most people would fold, but she refuses to sell. Mm-hmm. And by refusing to sell, guess what she's doing? She keeps driving the price of that neighborhood up. Because right. Next time they call, $1.3 million. No, $1.5 million, right?
Yeah.
You increase the value of it by refusing to sell.
Supply and demand. Yeah.
Supply and demand. You don't try to decrease the demand. You decrease the supply.
Right.
That's always the secret.
But does that not also then almost fall back onto men? Because I feel like as men, if we're not sticking around for our daughters, mm-hmm. or the women in our family and being like, well, I'm not just going to let you go with any dude.
Sure.
But that almost doesn't happen anymore.
It's
either like dudes are just not involved in the kid's life at all, or we just don't care, or we just like, it's too normalized.
I stole this from somebody who's a lot funnier than me.
Yeah.
He said, Future goes online and talks about his 9 baby mamas, and girls jump on the video to be the 10th.
Oh, I said that. No, just kidding.
Right? They jump at the chance to be the 10th.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? If you don't want dudes who leave their kids, don't have kids with dudes who leave their kids.
Yeah.
Right? Do your inspection. Make sure that this guy in the community is someone who likes kids and treats them well, right?
Right.
It goes right back to that inspection period. If you're going to buy a resale house, do your inspection. Make sure that there's someone who's willing and able and financially okay with taking care of the kid, right? It's all about the standard. And as much as people don't want to hear this, men can fight bad guys. We can kill bugs. We can build roads. We can build Starbucks. We can lay infrastructure. We can't be the moral standard of a nation. We just can't do it. We can't do it. It's impossible. We can't. It's not who we are. We are not good at it. We don't have the ability to do it. Every guy could come out tomorrow and be like, okay, I want to have sex with every girl. I think every girl should let me have sex with her. That's not going to get him laid, is it?
Right.
It won't. He could want it to happen. He could want her morals to be nothing, but he can't change it, which means the opposite is true. He could want her to be chaste. He could want her to have higher standards, but if she doesn't, he can't stop her.
Right.
Right?
We can't force them.
Yeah. We have no power in this fight, and that's a good thing. Men should not be able to control these things, but it also means we are not responsible. With great power comes great responsibility. We have no power, which means we also have no responsibility.
Right.
Did you know that teledriving is a new path to an autonomous future? Las Vegas welcomes VEY as an alternative approach to autonomous driving called teledriving. VEY's unique rental car service is live in Las Vegas. You order an electric vehicle with the VEY app and get it delivered driverlessly. You then drive it yourself in all of Las Vegas. To end the trip, you can park the car or give it back to a teledriver. Download the VEY Rent Cars by the Minute app and use the code VEYINVEGAS, that's VAYINVEGAS, for a $100 welcome bonus. Now back to the show.
Damn, this got good.
Yeah.
You really be watching the stories, bro. Cause
I be tapped in. You know exactly the filter that you use when you...
the birdie?
That little bird, yeah. That thing be killing me.
Because it ain't me.
Because it's so silly. And you would think like it was just going to be some bullshit. Like, you know, people be posting whatever on their stories. Like, oh, you know, today I went to Starbucks and then the drive through this. But then he breaks down like a 3-part, like, you know, stories be a minute long now.
Yeah.
There's like 3 stories of him giving down the breakdown of like, well, in the 80s, this happened and now this and this. And this is exactly why women. And yeah, like you be spitting on the stories. Yeah.
I lead people on a path.
Yeah.
Do you know who Daniel Tosh is?
Yeah.
Daniel Tosh, when he first started being a comedian, was my favorite comedian because he would start his joke in a very, I don't want to say blasé, but he would start it from a very broad standpoint, something we all can laugh at, Starbucks. And by the end of the joke, he'd be talking about a black guy in the crowd with a 94 Bulls jersey on singing Tupac Hit 'Em Up. Like he would take a joke that's very broad and he would break it down till eventually only like 2 people got the joke.
Yeah.
Right? And to me, that's how I like to make the stories. I start with a topic that everybody can understand. Starbucks, whatever.
Yeah.
Just something that people can understand. Houses, right? Something that everybody can understand. Hey, if there's a bunch of houses on the market and there's no buyers, the price comes down on the houses, right? And then step by step, minute by minute, I get to where I want to go with you. Because if I just came out straight and was like,
people are like, Skip.
You'd be like, Skip, don't be preachy.
Yeah.
But now I've got you hooked on a story. Now you want to know how the story finishes.
Yep.
And even as the story gets more and more offensive, even as the story gets to that place where your feelings get hurt.
You're already hooked. You're too invested.
You're too invested in my story to leave. And I've got you.
Exactly.
I've got you. And now everybody knows the secret. So skip the first story. No matter how interesting it seems, no matter how banal it seems, I'm telling you, I'm taking you somewhere special.
Yeah, because at the end, you're like, what does that first part even have anything to do with
that?
Yeah.
I got you there.
Yeah.
You do watch. And if you watch my stories, we're friends.
Yeah.
Right? And I think the reason why I like sitting down for your podcast is because we're friends. I forget that the camera's here a lot of times until I turn and I'm like, oh shit, I just said that on camera. We're friends. You watch the stories so you get who I really am.
Right.
Right? I enjoy food. You enjoy food. I like looking at houses. You like looking at houses. But social media can't exist for us to just dive into our greedy gluttonous. It has to be for more than that, right? We have the ability to finally all speak to each other, understand each other, communicate with each other. We have to use this to share our experiences. If not, what's the point, right? You might know something that could change my life. And for the first time in human history, you can deliver it to me instantly over an app.
Yeah.
I just have to be willing to listen to it, and you have to be willing to say it.
Yeah. And it's, with no social media, regardless of us both having the same name, living in the same city, having a really, really similar experience growing up, we probably would have never met. We would have never spoken to each other. We would have never gotten to know each other. We would have never told each other stories. We would have never taught each other anything.
Sure.
But because of social media, we can. And here we are.
Let's take it one step further.
Yeah.
If you had never taken the time to click through my stories and actually listen to what I'm saying, and if I had never had the courage to speak my mind, if I had been like every other influencer and just said exactly what I knew everyone wanted me to say, cancer is bad, black people should be this, pay the teachers, save the wells. If I had just done that and not spoken about how I really feel, you'd have never had me on the pod. We'd have never had this conversation.
Absolutely.
It's a two-part story.
Yeah.
I have to be courageous enough to say the thing, and you have to be courageous enough to take the time to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we can sit here and enjoy each other's company over shared courage. Because no matter what you believe, even if you believe something that I vehemently disagree with, at my core, I can respect you for someone who's courageous.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
And as long as we have that core basis of respect, as long as we can look at each other like men and be like, okay, listen, we may disagree on a lot of stuff, but at my core, I know you're a respectable man with courage. You know I'm a respectable man with courage. No matter what we say on top of this, we're still cool.
Right.
Right? And I think a lot of people are missing that base connection of respect.
Because they're lazy and they're cowards. You know, it takes courage, and people rather slap the term, oh, that's racist. Oh, that's hateful. Oh, that's this, mm-hmm. that's that. Now I can mute out everything that you have to say. I can mute out all your experience. Mm-hmm. Because why? Because you're racist. We don't listen to racists.
Yep.
I don't care what you're saying.
Yep.
It's so lazy.
We have given lazy, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
We have given lazy people the tool to silence and destroy people who work hard.
Yeah.
I make content, and people who are too lazy to make a video think they can tell me how to film my content. What makes you think the lazy person ever gets to tell the hardworking person what to do?
Exactly.
If you know a burger place better than my burger place, go film it and make content and show me it's better.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Oh, that place is too expensive. Great. Then opening up a competing business, charge cheaper prices and
you'll be a millionaire.
And you'll be a millionaire, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to do that? Then shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Social media has confused the lazy into thinking that they actually have power. And you and I both know lazy, uncourageous people will never have power over us.
Never.
Never. You're too lazy. You don't have the courage to have power over me. You need someone else to do your job for me.
Yeah.
You want to silence me, but you need to call in someone bigger and stronger than you. You need to call in the government or the mob. Lazy people love being like, we all think you're bad. Brother, it's just you.
Yeah, and it's funny because they always have to do it behind the safety of TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the safety of Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
user 8654 with the anime cartoon profile picture. You're not using your real name, your real picture. You're not saying it to me in person.
Oh,
you're
hiding
behind a screen, you know?
I've met somebody. Mm-hmm. They don't know it. I'm not going to say their name. I've met somebody who shit-talked me online.
No.
Oh, yeah. Because I go to their profile and I look to see if they're a real person or a bot. This was a real person with a family. And I met this dude at a bar. And when he saw me in person, it was nothing but daps up. Oh, I love your page, man. I go to Fat Boy Burger all the time. And I played along. I'm like, yeah, man, thank you for the support. Love it. Da 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 da. But in my mind, it helped pull me back to reality. Yeah. When I go out, nobody has a bad word for me. And if they do, they don't come up to me and say it.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing I get is drunk, middle-aged Mexican dudes talking about, oh, brother, I love where you eat. We went there last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why drunk, middle-aged Mexican dudes like me, but those are my dogs, bro. Yeah, yeah. Those are my number one fans. Oh, my wife showed me your page. Am I doing a good old man voice? Yeah, yeah, am I doing it? Sounds... Your wife showed me your page, brother. You eat good. I can tell. And I'm like, thanks for calling me fat, middle-aged Mexican man. I appreciate the love. They be coming up to me drunk and shit, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, bro.
We have no filter. Like,
none.
And it's not like said in a hateful way. It's just like we're just so blunt. Bro, it's so real. Like, yeah.
Listen, if you're a middle-aged Hispanic man and you're watching this, I love when you do this. Never stop.
Yeah.
You make me so happy when you come up to me and you just do the voice and you're so happy to see me and tell me where you've been eating. And it's like, it's my favorite. They don't want to talk to me for more than like 45 seconds. But it's the best 45 seconds of my damn day, man. I love that shit.
Yeah.
I love it. But yeah, nobody in the comments who talks like that engages like that in real life.
Mm-mm.
In real life, it's nothing but love and support.
Yep. Or silence.
Or complete silence, right? We are the man in the arena. They are the audience. They pay for their tickets. They cheer like everybody else. But at the end of the day, they're not in the arena. They're not doing it.
You never get in there to fight the line. You never get in there to do this. Otherwise, you would. And the people that actually know would never go and talk behind a screen about somebody else or, you know, do any kind of silliness like that.
I've done, at this point, 20, 30, 40 different podcasts. I do my own podcast. I do 7-8 stories a day.
Yeah.
I have never in my life badmouthed another influencer. Never. Why? I know how hard your job is. I know how hard it is to create content. I know how hard it is to film a podcast and edit it. I know. So even if I don't like your content, even if I disagree with it, I respect your effort.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll never badmouth another influencer. Anybody who does that shit is wild to me.
Yeah, exactly. Pivoting out of that though, engaging conversations on social media and allowing people to have a place to speak, sometimes it kind of goes... not left, but it's just interesting. Like there was a post I was looking at today. It was about, I don't remember if it was a Stitch or if it was something, but it's the one where you mentioned about being black and going on the Eiffel Tower. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, of course I know which one I'm talking about. Yeah.
And like, you know, I know it's meant to be serious, and I don't even know if it is, like, not you, but like if the comments are serious or not. But the comments just got flooded with like stereotypical like things that black people do, and like some of them you can tell, like, I guess they're just like genuine people who are like speaking on things, and you'll reply and you're like, yeah, well, people need a place to kind of vent or like get this out, and just so we can all have a conversation about it.
Yes.
But there's some of the comments in there that are like so funny, and I genuinely cannot tell, like, are you being serious or are you just like being satirical? Because like the comments are just crazy. Like, I don't know, it's funny. Like, I saved a few of them so we can go through them.
I can't wait, because listen.
Yeah.
There's a dude.
Mm.
I have a video where it hit 1 million views on a burger place.
Yeah.
And this dude straight up was like, oh, I can tell you eat that food every day. 13 of my audience members jumped in to be like, I hope you don't get in a car crash. And they got real offended on my behalf. And I jumped in. His name is Kevin. Yeah. And I posted. I said, Kevin, you're funny as fuck, bro. Don't let anybody stop you.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, right? And I think fat dudes should get made of fun of more. And then on that video, I think black dudes need to have a sense of humor about themselves.
Yeah.
Right? I say, if I sat here and made, I just did a Hispanic Mexican dad joke, right? You didn't get offended. No, and not a single Hispanic person watching this would get offended.
No, not at all.
You don't get down with that Latinx shit, do you?
No.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Most Hispanic people I know are like Polynesian people I know. They're okay with laughing at themselves, right? And one of the worst things that, and I don't know this where you want the conversation to go, but this is how I took that video.
Yeah, let's go.
I want people to make fun of me. I need black people to see that it's okay. Brother, it's okay. They still love you.
Yeah.
They still love you, but part of being an American is letting everybody else laugh at you.
Yeah.
When Hispanics came to this country, how many, I don't want to say, bro, I can't say the word, but how many B jokes did you hear?
Oh, yeah.
How many crossing the border jokes?
Yeah.
But now, y'all are just a part of society like everybody else.
Yeah.
You're part of society like everybody else. If I go around the corner, they're now selling, what are the Mexican cookies, the breaded cookies, the big thick ones?
Concha.
Yeah. They sell this at the gas station now.
Yeah.
Y'all are welcome to America. You got shitty food at 7-Eleven like the rest of us, right?
Here we go. We made it.
Y'all, you have.
Yeah.
Every In-N-Out got Chili's now. Everybody's catering to you now. You're a part of the American fabric, right? And y'all had to eat a few jokes for a while, but now you're cool. I think Irish people, when they came to this country, there were signs that said Irish people can't eat here.
Yeah, yeah.
They had to take their lickings. Italian people, when they first came here, had to take their licks. When you come to America, you got to take your licks, right? And I think people need to be okay with being laughed at. It's okay.
Yeah.
Right? If I'm okay with Dave Chappelle putting on whiteface and being like, today in new, right? If I'm okay with him doing that, I gotta be okay with someone doing the opposite.
Right. And it almost, like, to me, you do way more damage getting offended by it, because then you'll actually never break that barrier of, like, just being like the rest of us. And that, I don't understand if it's because you don't want to, because you kind of want to be on your own. I'm not speaking to you directly. I'm just saying, like, to those people.
Yeah.
Is it because you want to be on your own, or is it because, like, I don't understand why?
Okay. You ever been? You go to church?
No.
Okay. You ever been in a classroom when the teacher tells you not to laugh?
Yeah, you want to laugh.
It's the funniest. Now everything is funny.
Yeah.
Right.
You're doing that presentation up front, you make eye contact with the wrong person. You're.
It's over.
It's over.
This is why the comments in that video went so hard. People aren't allowed to laugh at people who look like me.
Right.
They're told from school, from television, don't laugh. That's racist. When you tell somebody not to laugh at a specific group,
yeah,
you make them want to go 10 times as hard to laugh at you, right?
Yeah.
The reason I don't tell white jokes anymore is because they stopped getting offended.
Right.
I hate it. I used to tell white jokes and they'd be like, haha, that's funny, bro. Man, shut up. Stop finding my jokes funny, right? They would just eat it and it completely diffused my joke. If you're willing to laugh at yourself, it's not funny to make fun of you anymore.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Because you don't get the rise out of them.
But the more offended you get, now I want to say the
truth.
Now it's 10 times funnier. Yeah. And I need my people to understand this.
Yeah.
The more you get offended, the more they're going to laugh.
Yeah. Especially on the internet.
Especially on the internet where there's no filter. There's no engagement.
Yeah.
And you asked, why do we do this? And I think I can't get you in too much trouble. I can't get you in too much trouble. So I'll walk a very fine line here for you. There's a specific group of people who have recently shared similar tragedies to black people, but they don't get a Juneteenth. In fact, Morgan Freeman does an interview where he asks the interviewer, do you want a month for your people? And he goes, no. Oh, God, no. And Morgan Freeman goes, then why do you think I want one for mine? Because when you have moments like this, you're celebrating being a victim.
Yeah.
It's a constant reminder. It would be like if your people had to celebrate the Alamo, right?
Yeah.
It'd be like if your people had to celebrate some tragic day.
You know what's crazy? I think in Texas they do celebrate it.
Which is weird.
It's crazy, yeah.
But Texas is weird. They're their own country.
Like,
right?
They were their own country.
But it'd be like you guys celebrating losing a huge victory, like, right?
Or like, yeah, like celebrating like somebody coming to Mexico. When the Europeans came to Mexico.
Yeah.
We
celebrate Mexican Independence Day because it's like a freedom of an entire country. It's the birth. It's the same reason we celebrate the 4th of July. It's the birth of a nation. You're not celebrating being a victim. You're not celebrating something tragic. You're celebrating something positive.
Right.
But all black holidays are centered around us being victims. Constant reminders that we are second place, that we are less than.
Yeah.
So of course we're sensitive to jokes because we still feel like every day we're being reminded that we're less than.
Yeah.
No other people on earth have to be reminded of this. None.
Yeah.
Nobody wants this. Swear to God. Name a group of people. If you ask Hispanic people, hey, do you want a month where we celebrate your worst moments ever? Fuck no. I want to drink margaritas. Yeah,
give me highlights.
Yeah. But black people's only holidays are lowlights.
Yeah.
Right? On Juneteenth, they're not walking around. I watched ESPN in the gym. They're not celebrating our achievements. They're like, remember when this baseball team had to face racism from this one guy? And it's like, bro, just celebrate the baseball team. It doesn't have to be them overcoming racism. Just let them celebrate, right? So if you want to know why black people are so sensitive, it's that. It's that. It's why I hate Black History Month. It's why I'm with Morgan Freeman. Like, I don't want that shit. I don't want... Celebrate me being successful. Don't celebrate me being a victim.
Yeah, because I have, like... I mean, I have friends from, like... Vegas is pretty multicultural.
Yeah.
So I have, like, friends of, like, basically everything. Like, Middle Eastern, Asian, white, black, like, Polynesian, Islanders, everything.
Shout out to the Polys.
Yeah, shout out to them. Shout out to all the Ooses.
Oos!
But, yeah, it's like, to me, if I'm in a room, whether I'm around, like, Hispanic people or like, especially if I'm around, like, other races, I'm the only Hispanic there. If I feel like you're walking on eggshells and, like, you won't crack jokes or you won't say certain things, to me, it's like, oh, you're looking at me differently. And when I'm in a room, if you're making, like, cracking Mexican jokes or, like, saying shit, it's like, yeah, we're laughing. Like, it's
we're
like,
laughing.
I get a feeling like you see me as you because I know you would joke that way with your friends.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to joke around with you. You're going to joke around with me. Like, we're all cool. It's not like no weird shit, you know?
The quickest way to become my friend is to shit talk me.
Yeah.
And I'm with you.
Yeah.
If I'm at a party and someone, one of my best friends in the whole world, we're at dinner celebrating something back in December. And at the table behind me, so this lady's like, oh my God, is that Brandon from Vegas? And she turns around, she goes, man, fuck that dude. He's mid as shit. And I said, that's why we're friends.
Oh my goodness.
That's why we're friends. Yeah. Because you think I'm mid,
yeah.
That makes me like you more, right?
Because you're real.
Because you're real.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't give a shit if you, I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I would rather hang out with an honest racist than somebody who pretends to like me.
Yeah, same. Because it's funnier. Like to me, I think that's like why... You know, people are so drawn to like people like Trump or people like who just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a fuck neither. Like, I'm not gonna lie, when the cameras are off and I'm chilling with the homies, like, we be saying some outlandish
wild shit.
Just joking around, wild like shit. Having fun. But it's like nobody gets offended. Nobody gets like hurt. It's not like, oh my goodness, how could you ever say that?
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're boys. Like, we're just 100%. Like, having a good time. Yeah.
Bro, if you ever hang out with black people, we say the most heinous black jokes. You shit that if someone said it on the internet, they would get canceled
forever. Yeah.
Forever.
Like they and their children and their children's children for
life.
Yeah, yeah.
Your whole family would get canceled for life, right? But I think that's why when Trump comes to Vegas, he shuts down wherever he is because Vegas is a city of people who we're all a little fucked up.
Yeah, we don't give a fuck.
Like, we don't be like.
Like, we shit talk people from California.
Oh, my God.
Whoever moves here, just know we shit talk.
We shit talk you.
Like, it's cool when you're here. We're like, yeah. Oh, you're from LA? That's so cool. Like, I love going to LA. I love this. When you're not in the room and it's only Vegas people, I promise you, we're like,
oh, we're running them out.
Why the fuck these LA people move
for real?
Here? I hate them.
Fucking.
The worst drivers.
Crashes here. Every day, yeah, right? Yeah, we run our mouth. But once you're here in Vegas for a few years, guess what?
We accept you. Yeah, you're one of us. Yeah.
I'm going to say this because I know I've been jabber-jawing, and thank you for letting me come on here and run my mouth. Vegas is the most American city in America.
Yeah, I completely agree.
We are multicultural. We all get along. There's no racial separation. Yeah, do certain groups live in certain areas? Sure. But when I go to Chinatown, nobody treats me differently. When if a white guy goes to Ink Kitchen, no one's going to treat him differently. When I go to the East Side, nobody treats me differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are the most American city in America because we hate everybody, but we love the people who are here.
Yeah,
absolutely. Straight up.
Yeah.
Straight up. We are. If you come to Vegas, it's the most American city left. We got NASCAR, guns, rodeos, and Trump flags, and we got strippers, drag queens, weed, coke, titties, all that stuff too. And they both coexist in the same city.
Man, I love Vegas.
It's the best. I've traveled. We talked about travel last time. Yep. There's no city like Vegas. There's nothing like this place.
Yeah.
Because we, most of us had to work on the strip or customer service. So we spend 8 hours a day having to kiss your ass, right? To make money in this city, you got to kiss people's ass. You got to, yes, sir, no, sir. Let me give you this extra super special service, sir.
Right.
The second I'm off work, man, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I hate you, right? We go in on people.
Yeah, shout out to all the men. Those are the people that make Vegas run. Like 100%. All like the valet workers, the housekeepers, the people that work like as in the kitchen and the casinos. Like, yeah.
Everything you're saying is true.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a whole video on this. I've been meaning to, and you just inspired me to finish it off. But that's who makes Vegas run. If you're a valet and you're watching this, if you see me pull up, congratulations, that's your lucky day because I will wildly overtip you. Ask the valet people at Caesar's Palace. It's $50 even if I'm there for 10 minutes. If you see me at Caesar's, my money is yours. That's a promise.
I'm about to get a part-time at Caesar's Valet.
Oh, bro. No. I'm from here, bro.
Brandon, when you go, call me. I'm clocking in.
Oh, yeah. No. If you're a valet and you see me coming, jackpot.
Yeah.
Just pretend that you know me. Be like, hey, Brandon from Vegas, I will wildly overtip you. I promise.
There's a racist joke there that I won't make.
Ha! I actually overtip for all the black people who don't.
No, not that. But I was gonna.
Oh, that's my.
That's even more racist.
That's my racist joke.
I was gonna say they're just gonna see a black dude get out of the car and be like, "Oh, Brandon from Vegas, not racist place, sir."
I am not Bullethead. Stop calling me Bullethead.
Yeah.
Every time I come to North Vegas, they be like, "Oh, it's Bullethead. Y'all racist."
That's funny. Shout out to Bullethead.
Shout out to Bullethead, bro. Doing good for the community.
That's funny. Yeah, but I want to read some of those comments on that video.
Read it. Matter of fact, whenever I come on, I want you to read the meanest things people say about me.
Okay. Where is it?
We're going to make this a clip. My operations manager is hanging off stage. Y'all can't see her. We're going to do this. Once a month, I want to go through the meanest things people say about me, and I want to laugh and show people how funny it is.
We should do it, but it's this video.
About black people not tipping, and as a black male who served tables for 3 years, I 100% believe it's our social faux pas, like not tipping and walking into elevators before others give off and just inconsiderate things like that, that is behind so much of like the animosity and hatred. True story. Like, if we're going to live in a diverse society with so many different cultures, then we have to have some genuine social norms that we all agree upon that shows that, hey, we're all American and this is what brings us together. Like, if we're all going to live in this diverse society where we have so many different races and cultures and identities, we have to have some social norms that bring us all together and unite us, because if not, we're not a group of people. We're just a bunch of strangers. And for some reason, either because they're not taught or they're just purposely disobeyed, we just reject so many basic social standards. Also, this isn't a black thing. Ask anybody who's been to Paris about why you can't get on the Eiffel Tower.
That's good. But
some of the comments on here. So to me, that's like, you know, you're trying to make a positive change. You're trying to draw attention to something that matters.
Yeah.
You're trying to spark a conversation. But then people just like, so somebody said speakerphone calls in a supermarket.
That's
like,
me. I do that. Random. I do that. Nope. I do that. That's me.
At graduations, hooting and screaming for 5 full minutes drowns out the following graduates' names and they are never heard.
That's my family. Keep going.
FaceTime everywhere.
Me.
Slow walk across the street.
Me.
Just change your smoke alarm batteries, y'all. That would have me dying. Because that's true for us, too. Like, I'll be FaceTiming someone. And it's so normal. Like, we stop knowing it's there. And then you'll call someone who doesn't do that. And they're like, why is that? What's that beeping sound? And you're like, what beeping sound? And you, oh, the smoke alarm? Like, it just becomes second nature.
I once had an open house quick. So I was at an open house where the smoke alarm was off for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Every client complained about it until I was like, what are you talking about, bro? I haven't noticed this not one time.
Yeah, exactly. Playing music out loud on the bus or the train. Oh, this one was kind of crazy. I'm not going to lie. But this is the one where people are like, they're just trolling.
Okay.
But Babyphase 19 says, we called them Canadians at the restaurant, but then we felt bad because Canadians are nice. So we started calling them Mondays. And then in parentheses, he puts, because no one likes Mondays.
Damn. Like, oh, yeah. Whenever you get to the no one and everyone,
that's
when it's not funny.
Yeah, like, you're wilding.
Yeah, but the smoke alarm shit is funny.
Yeah, exactly. This guy, this person was just ranting. They had a whole list. I don't know if they had it saved in their notes or something, but yeah. Most egregious is being loud in public, blasting bass in your car. Blasting bass in your car is funny. At night, going by your neighbors, talking on the phone. He said, full chest voice. What is full chest voice?
Say it with your chest.
Loud at family restaurants. There was another one. Oh, this one. See, like, this is another one where it's like a bot comment, but it's not. Like, the fact, like, knowing this came from a person is kind of crazy. But it says, cutting in line and littering. Oh, my God. If I had a dollar for every time I've seen. And he says, chicken bones, take out boxes, drink bottles, etc., be flagrantly thrown onto the ground. Why is that, like, the thing that you noticed?
Because I said
chicken bones on the ground.
Once, kind of crazy. Once you tell someone,
yeah,
they're not allowed to criticize a group. Now it's the laughing in church syndrome. Just now I'm gonna hyper focus on everything that you do.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to focus on everything that you do because I've been told that I can't criticize it, right? And that's what that video exposed. I was opening the door on just social norms and the importance of social norms and how often we don't even realize we're breaking these social norms. But guess what? Everybody in that comment section noticed. They noticed. We may not think about it. We may not be cognizant of it, but people are watching. It's why no offense, I'm a great citizen. If I'm living in your neighborhood, I'm a great citizen. I don't litter. I walk old ladies across the street. I do all that because I'm aware of the social norms.
Right.
And much like the tipping thing, I'm trying to overcompensate for the people I know who don't do these things, right? I want you to see me and at least be able to be like, all right, I see him doing the thing,
right? To me, the thing that was funny, though, is just like the whole comment is like, okay, it reads as if it's genuine. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to say these things that are kind of stereotypical, but I feel like they're true in this. But it's just like that one phrase. It just like throws it off so you don't know if they're trolling.
Or the word chicken bone?
Like chicken bones is hilarious. Like, why is that the one thing that they're littering, you know?
Because if I go on the internet and I want to say something that white people do, I can just say white people, right? If I say, bruh, who goes in the woods and gets killed by a bear? That's white people's shit. Who goes in the ocean and jumps in a cage with sharks? That's white people's shit. We're allowed to say that, right? So we never feel the need to come up with like a catchy moniker. We can just say white people. But because there's certain groups we're not allowed to talk about, now I got to come up with even more racist nicknames like chicken bone.
I gotta hide it in there.
Right? Just call me black. Don't call me chicken bone, homie. That's that's worse than calling me black.
That's why it's like, it's funny because I can just imagine them trying to be like, I don't want to sound racist, but I want it. And then they just put in chicken bones. I'm like, bro, that's bad.
That's the most. Now, funny enough, if I was hanging out with my brother and he was like, what up, chicken bone? I would lose it, bro. I would fall to pieces.
You gotta do it to him now.
Oh, he gonna watch this. My brother's actually a fan of your podcast. But
appreciate it.
I'm gonna try to catch him before you post this and be like, what up, chicken bone? Yeah. He gonna lose his hilarious shit. Chicken bone. Yeah. Bro, that shit's funny, man.
Fucking hilarious.
I'm glad you pulled up that video. Because I think that's the kind of I've been seeing more of that content on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Where black people finally, now I don't know if this happens in the Latin community, because you guys seem pretty united on your cholos are over here, Latin people are over here. We don't conflate the two groups.
Oh, you're talking about you said it in a video. And it reminds me, you heard the Chris Rock joke about it, right?
That's my favorite skit.
Yeah.
He couldn't make that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for us, it's like, it's crazy because it feels like there's something trying to force us to kind of be okay with it. There's something like, it's the same with like the Latinx thing, right? Like there was a time when it first got introduced, it felt like they were trying to force us to, you know, get down with that. And the people that are like really Hispanic, the people that, you know, they're first generation, even second generation, the people that are moving here, all of us that really grew up Hispanic, we're like, we don't want nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
But it felt like they were trying to make us be okay with it. And I get what you're saying. It's like all of us, you know, we know we're like, okay, these are our values. The people that don't align with our values, they're over there. They look like us, but they're not us.
Yeah.
But it feels like they're trying to just jam us together.
Yeah.
And be like, no, you have to be this way. Nah.
It didn't. You know who else they don't do it to?
Who?
Asian people.
Yeah, Asia, yeah, for sure.
If you act like a degenerate, I don't care if you're
like the most.
I don't care if you're Vietnamese, Japanese, Chinese, yeah. Mongolian. I don't give a shit what you are.
Yeah,
I got Asian homies. They say A is for Asian for a reason.
Yeah.
Their standards as a community are so high.
Yeah.
If you act even a little bit degenerate, done. Done. You're done. We won't even we won't pretend you're even close to us.
Yeah, you're not associated with us at all. Yeah.
And you can feel it that they're trying to push it on you because it's worked on my people so well that they're like, oh, we're just going to run this same playbook on everybody else. You know, with white folks, they try to make them rednecks. They really tried to shove, like, you know, not just country, but like, yeehaw, we, you know, that whole shit. They really tried to like make that a thing.
Or also the opposite too, when they're like, oh, well, you have to accept this, otherwise you're racist.
Otherwise you're racist.
You have to accept this, otherwise this. You're not allowed to have an opinion.
Yeah.
Don't speak about this because you're not this color. You're not this race. You're not this. It's like, why?
That's why I love Hispanic people, because y'all were just like, no, fuck that. We're going to say exactly what we want to. We don't give a fuck. We're not doing it. You can't force it on us. We like what we like, and it's never going to change. I love that. And I'm starting to now, again, TikTok is catered to you. Social media is catered to you. So maybe I'm just seeing it because that's what I want to see. But I'm starting to see a lot of videos go viral where black people are finally talking, using the app for what it's intended for, communicating with each other, realizing, wait, there's millions of us who are sick of this. Millions of us who are sick of our only celebrities being degenerate rappers. There's millions of us who are noticing that, like, yeah, we hate when these people don't follow social norms too. We're sick of it too, right? Like, it's good for other races and other cultures to see black people being like, no, trust me, we too, it is not all of us. You may think it's all of us because they don't put us on the news, but a lot of us are sick of the same shit that y'all are sick of. And I think it's important. I think it's important if we're going to have this melting pot where you and I keep having these conversations where we want the whole world to be like Las Vegas. It's important for us to have these conversations, even if they're uncomfortable, even if it makes some people really emotional, we still need to have these conversations. And I think ultimately that's what social media is for, right?
Absolutely.
That's what these podcasts are for.
Yeah. To draw attention to these things.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, chicken bones was hilarious.
That is some funny shit, bro. That is some funny shit. Like, I know on camera while we're sitting here, it sounds racist, but just think about you're sitting somewhere, okay? You're at a bar, you're out with your friends, and you accidentally drop a napkin on the ground, and some guy walks by and goes, you gonna pick that up, chicken bone? Before you got upset, wouldn't you laugh just a little bit? Yeah. You would laugh just a little bit.
Die. Like, someone like, yeah, it just.
Would you, like, just like, there would be a point where you got offended, but there's also a definite period of time where you're like, chicken, bro, this motherfucker's wild, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're wilding out. Like, how I think about it is, like, imagine you're sitting in a restaurant, you're in a booth, and you just overhear somebody talking behind you, and that comment comes out of their mouth, I would just die. Like, I would just die laughing.
What?
And I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, is this a prank show or something?
Okay, I guess there's a difference. And this is what I said earlier about the honest racist.
Yeah.
If they're saying it to me,
yeah,
it's funny.
Well, to me, it almost, I always said it like, I don't know how, but I feel like human beings have this way of knowing when something is bullshit.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can say the same thing. And have you ever had, you know, you're talking to someone, they say something super racist, but you can tell it's just like not ill-mannered at all.
Oh, yeah.
And there could be times where, like, if that same exact thing was said in a different way, you're like, what are you doing, bro? Like, that's not cool. Like,
I can't say his name because, again,
yeah.
I'm big on this. I had a homeboy in college, same fraternity as me, grew up in what he didn't realize was a very sheltered racist town.
Yeah.
He didn't know it, though. That was normal to him. So we hang out in college and we become really good friends. I'm friends with him to this day. I've followed his family, his kids, his wife, all that.
Yeah.
He would say some of the most outlandish, out-of-pocket racist shit to me.
Yeah.
But this is the same dude who would get in a fist fight if you ever said something bad about me to his face.
Yeah.
He would fight you on site. Like, on site, if you were ever like, oh, Brandon's this, 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 he's ready to scrap. But he would still say racist that shit because he didn't know no better, right? And you're right. It's, you have to recognize when someone's saying something with good intentions and when they're saying it to genuinely be hateful.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? This man was not hateful. But if you had heard him call me some of the names he called me, you'd be like, this is literally the Nazi of the Nazis. Like, this man is crazy, you know? But yeah, it's 100% true. It's up to us as people to disseminate what is genuine hate and what is someone trying to be funny or not knowing any better.
Right, yeah.
Like, damn, these are some good-ass conversations.
No, like, just to tell a quick story, like, I have a homie named Kyle. He's Asian, right? Shout out to my homie Kyle.
But, what up, Kyle?
We went to the Pinball Hall of Fame, and there's, like, a racing game, right?
Okay.
And then, mind you, like, this guy's, like, into cars. Like, he loves cars, whatever.
Okay.
And we're playing the race car, right? The racing game.
Okay.
And I beat him. And he's like, man, I don't know how, man. You crossed this. I was like, it's in the genes, baby. You're just born with a disadvantage. And to me, like, that's hilarious. But it's like, if I were to just, you know, walk down the street and, like, someone cut me off, and I just, like, you know, let them have it, and they were Asian, and I said the same thing, like, I'm like, okay, like, I'm wilding. Like, I'm actually trying to hurt this person by saying that versus me saying it, like, in a fun way.
It's the
it's just funny, you know? Like, yeah.
I'm going to end it with this because I'm sure I've been rambling my ass off for too long. Earlier, we talked about having a fundamental basis of respect and courage.
Yeah.
Respect and courage. It's what makes any man. If I can respect you and I know you're courageous, I don't care who you are. Yeah. We can, because I know if something pops off, if the aliens show up, I got your back, you got mine.
Right.
Right? We may hate each other now, but if the aliens show up, we're about that together, right? I think the reason you're able to talk to your friend like that is because you respect him enough to be his friend.
Yeah.
And you have the courage to say it to his face.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's it. It's really, I wish people would realize all of this isn't complicated. If you respect somebody and they're courageous, they can almost say whatever they want to because you're doing it to my face.
Yeah.
And I have to respect the courage, right? The people I don't respect are the racists who are racist, but they don't have the courage to say it to my face because now I'm not offended that you're a racist. I'm offended that you're a coward. I'm offended that you're a coward who thinks you deserve an opinion.
Exactly.
But if you're courageous and you're kind of a dickhead, there's a part of me that has to respect you.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, we find kind of joy in that. Like,
sure, because you know... Okay, if you're a racist to my face, that means there's a part of you that knows I might swing.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're willing to take that to say your thing.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Like, I feel like if there was somebody who's saying something crazy, but it's just, it's us. There's no cameras. There's no nothing. Like, nothing's going to get made of it. And they're telling me something, knowing that if they say the wrong thing, I might be like, you know what? Let's just go outside. We're going, like, let's go outside.
Yeah.
And part of me, like... I would then not want to fight you more, not because I'm scared, but just because I'm like, wow, this motherfucker really, like, he really has courage. He really thinks that way. So it makes me want to be like, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Exactly.
Because being funny means being courageous. There's a chance the joke, there's a chance you look at your boy and you're like, okay, Drift King, okay, DK, and there's a chance he gets offended. And you're in person, and you got to risk that, right?
Yeah.
But that's why it's funny.
Exactly.
Because you have the courage to risk it.
Right, yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Man, this is once again, I don't know how long I've been talking. My girl's probably giving me dirty-ass looks. We're supposed to be at we're supposed to meet this guy to make him my website. But when I come on your podcast, it's like being a casino because you ain't got no clocks around here.
No clocks.
I don't know what time it is. She done kicked her shoes off. Bro, she's getting cozy in your pad.
Yeah.
We've been kicking it.
Yeah.
Right? I know you need to have other guests on here. I get that, right? And I'll wait my turn. But the next time you got an opening, I think we should bring a third chair. Mm-hmm. Find a homegirl of yours or somebody. Put a girl in this chair.
Yeah.
And have the same conversation we had earlier. Because that would show us being courageous, right?
I agree.
Right? Because I want to have this conversation about courage and respect and all that, but I want to have a girl in the room so when you and I talk about what we were talking about, she has the right to call us misogynistic dickheads and go in on us.
Absolutely. Yeah,
right?
I agree,
right?
Let's do it.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much for the time. You know, just like you said there's no clocks, there's nothing. Like, I have so much fun when we talk. I learn a lot. I feel like we see the world very similarly, but we come from, you know, two different worlds in terms of what we do for a living, and I have a lot of fun.
We both have parents who loved us.
Yeah, exactly.
It's our grand unifier, man.
Yeah.
It's our grand unifier. We both had parents who loved us. So at the end of the day, no matter what happens to us, you've probably faced your racisms. I've faced mine. But we go home and we're like, man, both my parents love me. I'm straight, exactly. Right? At least I got something to hang my hat on. And exactly. I think that's why we can laugh at this shit. So
exactly.
It's always a blessing talking to you, man. It is. It genuinely is. This is like, I look forward to these more than you know.
Thank you.
That it's like my stories, but over like an hour and a half, basically.
Yeah.
I'm probably sweating through this pink ass shirt. Yo, if I raise my arms right now, it would look like a flood at Lake Mead, bro. I am, my big ass been sitting here. I made your chair wet as hell. Look like a dog peed in this shit, man.
It's all good.
My bad.
That's what it's for. But yeah, guys, hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode, man. Make sure to go check out Brandon. You want to give him a social media? Brandon from Vegas on everything, right?
Brandon from Vegas on everything, bro. That's what I tell him. Like, go on your Google, type in Brandon from Vegas. It's there. I'm easy to find. I'm annoying. Wait for the little bird to pop up. You're Gucci.
Easy as that, man. Make sure you watch his stories. Not just the posts, the stories as well. Thank you guys for watching, man. We'll see y'all next week for another episode.
Peace. 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 Peace.